Margot Kaufman has released a fascinating book titled From Protest to Resistance, but Margot's name is nowhere on the cover or the book back, and that's because it's a memoir written first by her Aunt Lily in German. Aunt Lily escaped Auschwitz in 1944. She would have turned 100 years old this year. She passed away in 1999 after a remarkable life. Margot is her niece and took it upon herself to translate her aunt's book and make it available to all of us. So, Margot, welcome to Insight.
Thank you.
We've been talking about this book for quite a while, and your Aunt Lily, now that I've read the book, was the real-life version of any heroine you'd read about in a spy thriller, wasn't she?
Yes, she sure was.
Can you describe her personality and her outlook on life?
She was very positive, a real fighter. You know, she'd take on anything and anyone and had a very, very strong feeling of what's right and what's wrong. And she was always eager to fight for a cause and take up her cause.
The very first paragraph of the preface that you wrote, you said, "My Aunt Lily, always rebellious and energetic, led an adventurous life. She studied in Germany, Switzerland, and France while actively participating in politics. During World War II, she fled from the German troops on bicycle across France, was active in the French resistance movement, was imprisoned both in France and Germany, and then escaped from Auschwitz, traversing war-torn Germany back to Switzerland." That's the very short version of her life.
Right.
And it's a story that your family grew up knowing bits and pieces of, right?
No, I knew her well. She's like my second mother, because I lived with her.
But until this memoir, did you know the whole story?
Well, I did visit her almost every year. She was in Germany, and my husband and I used to go every summer.
So she first wrote this book that was published in German in, was 1986 the first publication?
Yes.
And what was the audience for it?
She was a professor, and she realized that a lot of students and younger people were kind of losing view of what was going on, had been going on in Germany. And she wanted to make sure that people remembered and people would not forget. So she kept reminding them. And when she got older, that's why there was another edition, because people, again, started to forget. So she put out a new edition.
Did you ever talk to her about an English translation?
No, I don't think I thought about it at the time.
You didn't think about sharing the story here
in
America?
I did later, because I had my daughter and granddaughter, and I really wanted my granddaughter to read it. And so that's why I had to translate it.
Let's focus, first of all, on when she was arrested. She was arrested in France in 1943. And there was just a scene about her purse and trying to hide the fact that her husband was at his apartment and her son was in a hospital. And can you just give us a picture of what life was like then?
Well, the purse was, all these people who did courier work had a purse with a double bottom. And they would meet somebody in the subway and trade purses.
And that's what she was doing.
And that's what she was doing.
And she was translating documents.
Right. And so when she was arrested, she threw the purse down, hoping that she didn't want to be caught with the purse. But then they would knew she had been a courier. But when she threw it down, somebody saw it and said, you know, "Madame, madame, you dropped your purse." So
they handed it back to her.
Handed it back to her, and so she couldn't have lost it.
And the officials were trying to get the purse, and she was trying to lose it.
This is a great scene
out of a movie. And then, so what eventually happened to the purse? I think she
finally got rid of it again, and then the policeman was saying, "You had the purse." The other one said, "You had the purse," and they didn't realize who had it last.
And she had ditched it in the subway.
She had ditched it finally.
But that's when they really scared her, because they said they were going to find her son. And then she had to make some other heroic moves to protect her son.
Right, because he had contracted tuberculosis and he wasn't well. And so they were sending him to a sanitarium in the Pyrenees.
And she did end up getting arrested, and she did end up eventually at Auschwitz.
Yeah.
She was such a practical woman. She wrote that many other people have written about the Auschwitz experience. I don't need to go into great detail about that. But the amount of detail, Margot, that she remembers about the other people with her and their circumstances.
Right, yeah. And the prison, too, I think the French prison, she had a lot of detail, a lot of, you know, how they lived and the interaction of different people and different groups.
What did she tell you about her life there? Because some people won't talk much about it.
Well, one thing she told me was funny in a way. When she got out of Auschwitz, she went to the movies and she went to a Charlie Chaplin film and saw Modern Times. Mm-hmm. And he was eating his shoelaces because he had been hungry. And she said she started crying away in the movie because she remembered how hungry she had been in Auschwitz. And everybody else was laughing their head off. And she, you know, this contrast of, to her, the eating shoelaces meant real starvation. And
she was courageous. She talked about trying to support and cover for the other women. But she was unique, Margot, because she was a French woman, they thought,
right,
who spoke fabulous German. And how did that help her?
She could relate to both groups. You know, the Germans thought she was French. The French thought she was German. So she could communicate with.
And she was actually born in Berlin.
She was born in Germany and educated in France and Switzerland.
Talk a little bit about her husband, because in the book, there's a description, I'm going to flip to a page here, where she writes about him being her, she says, from the very first moment, Yasha, how you say his name?
Was Jakob in German and Yasha the Russian name.
Was my political mentor, and I had unlimited confidence in his intellectual superiority. They were quite a team.
Right. Both scientists. He was a physicist and she was a biochemist. And they met at the University of Toulouse.
And they were separated when she went off to prison first.
Right.
And then later in the story, they end up going through a daring escape on bicycles.
Oh, that was when the Germans came to Paris.
And tell a little bit of that story.
Well, that was wild because they just got on bicycles and had a little, you know, burner to make food. And they slept in the showroom of a furniture store and they just kept, they met everybody on the road. And since they were on bicycle, they could escape people easily. You know, they went to the side of the road.
They give vivid descriptions, too, of encountering people and describing what they're escaping from. And some people want to run. They want nothing to do with them. They're so afraid for their own safety.
It was a real mess. It was a mixture of people escaping, German soldiers, French soldiers, and nobody knew what was coming off at the time.
I'm speaking with Margot Kaufman, who has released the English translation of her aunt Lily's memoir, and it's Lily Segal.
Right.
And the memoir is titled From Protest to Resistance. It did make me think, Margot, about how in these times we try to come together in such a collective way and minimize our differences. And in reading stories like this, everything was about the difference. What neighborhood did you come from? What was your background, your culture, your language? It helped either protect you or hurt you to know those details.
Yeah, it was a real mixture of nationalities and economic backgrounds and educational backgrounds and everything.
Which story that she told was most vivid for you, was most telling about who your Aunt Lily was?
I don't think she told too many stories.
She escaped from Auschwitz.
The escape, it was lucky, because when she escaped, she ended up in a farmhouse, and it so happened that the farmhouse had French soldiers. You know, they had put prisoners of war into people's farms to help them, so the French soldiers helped them, stole clothing and food and everything else, but they were both very sick when they escaped. She had that typhoid. So
she had a friend named Annie.
Yeah, and she took Annie along with her.
And they escaped in the fog. Isn't it the fog that gave them a cover?
Yeah, the person who helped me with the translation, to her, when she did it, she thought everywhere she read was fog. That's why we put fog on the cover. Because she escaped in the fog, and she went to Switzerland in the fog, and each time the fog hit her when she had to be.
UC Davis students will know you, Margot, as their French professor, and also a senior lecturer emerita. Have you shared stories along the way about your Aunt Lily with your students in your classes?
No, I don't think so.
Why does that happen?
I don't know.
Such vivid history stay quiet?
Well, I don't think it really fit into the, you know, curriculum. Maybe on a personal basis. You know, a lot of people knew her, but she came to Sacramento several times.
She ended up being a biochemist.
Yeah.
And then was at the university in Humboldt.
Right, Humboldt University, Berlin.
And how long did she work there?
Oh, until, you know, she retired until her 70 or so.
And would come to visit you. Mm-hmm. And with her husband, they
yes.
escaped and lived
there. Well, he gave lectures at Stanford, and he came, they went up to Maine to some research organization. So they came several times.
Mm-hmm. Now that the book is in this English translation, and it actually came out last year, and it's getting great reviews, Margot. A lot of 5-star reviews.
Right, I was real happy about that.
Yeah, the descriptions of it are that she's so remarkable, and her capture of details is just stunning. But someone even said that having lived through that time period, the book is such a good close-up view of the events that happened. Mm-hmm. Did you think about its ability to teach and help with the understanding?
Well, that's really one of my reasons for having it translated, is to so people would use it in classrooms and students would read it. Because I think it has it from a child's point of view. It starts with her childhood and growing up and education, and I think it would be very valuable for students.
One other review here that I'll read off of Amazon, a firsthand account of the horror when one's own people and government want you dead just because you're alive. To know it can happen will motivate vigilance against expression of the sordid demons in our human nature.
Right.
Well, where from here? Where do you want to share the book? Where do you want the memories of Aunt Lily to go?
Well, everywhere, as many places as possible. It's hard for me. I've never done this. I've gotten the book out, but to market it is something else.
Well, and I will share with people, somebody yeah. recommended that you call. You and I have spoken on the phone a couple times. I've read the book. I think it's astonishing. And she is a role model.
Right. Well, I'm glad you mentioned it, because that's what I was hoping for.
Yeah, and I think you must have given people who preserve the history of World War II and the concentration camps a real gem in the example of what happened and the personal story of Lily.
Right, because it's so personal. I think that's what makes it interesting.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I'm sure there are book clubs out there, Margot, that will be interested and focused, and you have a lot to share.
Well, thank you.
It was a pleasure to meet you.
Same here.
And that is Margot Kaufman, and the memoir by Lily Segal is titled From Protest to Resistance. We have more details at capradio.org/insight. And on Amazon.com. You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio.